lovelies, and welcome to another edition of LGBT in the Ring, your rainbow bastion for all things pro wrestling. I am your host, Brian Bell, here with you once again, and we have a very fun one in store for all of y'all today. Of course, we are coming up just a few days away from WrestleMania week, starting in proper on Monday, WrestleMania weekend, kicking off in proper on Thursday with the start of the Collective. And one of the shining stars of the Collective is, of course, always Effie's Big Gay Brunch. And we have the namesake, the mind behind that show on this show today. Effie returns here to chat about Big Gay Brunch 9 coming up on Saturday, April 6th. But also so much more. So much more. We get into a lot of, like, the stresses behind running these shows, like, you know, how things have evolved and changed since the first one in 2020, and delve into some other topics around queerness and pro wrestling as well, like we always do whenever Effie comes on the show. So if you listen to the past interviews that we've done, no disappointments here at all, for sure. So let's not mince any more time here. Let's just jump right into my conversation with Effie. What's up, guys, gals, and non-binary pals? Welcome back to LGBT in the Ring, and I'm very, very pleased to have as my guest this week, returning for the first time in a while, but, you know, we always tend to have some kind of check-in before Mania weekend here in 2024 is no different. Please welcome back Effie to the
show. Hello, my lovely friend. I'm here. As I view myself in the screen, I am concerned at my well-being, and I understand those around me that are as well. I can't guarantee I'm going to look any more put together by next week when we get to Philadelphia, but I'm going to try my best.
Hey, you know, that's all you can do, honestly, at this point, right? Because let's face facts. Like, there have been a lot of images of you that have been going up on the internet that have made people worry to some extent, or have made people wonder, like, not necessarily, worry is a strong word, more so just like, are you okay? So much so that you now have it, like, permanently on your body.
Let's be clear, getting it tattooed on the side of your head is a really good way of telling people that you're fine.
Exactly.
They definitely believe that I am fine. And, you know, I have a very, very supportive mom, and she follows me on social media and she listens to my podcast, and she's been concerned to call me. So, you know, it's I've got to kind of balance out leaving a legacy that I am proud of and that I am you know, not killed by, but also am testing my limits with, but also keeping my mother from driving down to Atlanta and just stopping me from leaving the house.
How hard is it to find that balance, honestly, for you?
You know, last year, and I had this conversation with Brett with GCW, you know, the travel schedule was very intense. And I kind of mentioned it when I did the first promo against Mance in December about, you know, he turned on me, he broke my nose with his knee, which I, you know, it's never really healed since then. It's not good. But sort of saying, like, the travel schedule was insane over the course of that year. You know, not only am I working almost every weekend or more than every weekend, I'm going to Australia twice. I'm going to Germany. I'm going to England. I'm going to Japan again. And I'm still running LA brunch, running UK brunch, running Chicago brunch, running Effie's Big Gay Thanksgiving, and then into the new year running a brunch in Tampa. And there's sort of this nonstop go, 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 where if I reflect, or if I look behind me, or if I think about how much I'm doing, I sort of lose my mind more so than if I would just keep my nose to the grindstone. And so I've been trying this year to make the moments count that I'm using, and also acknowledging, like, today I just woke up. We're meeting at 3 p.m. East Coast time. And you know what? I streamed last night until midnight. I had a 4 a.m. flight home from fucking Austin. Where even am I going? And I said, you know what? I'm going to sleep in today. And luckily, I got up in time to do the interview. But I'm acknowledging those moments where I go, I'm tired, and not arguing with myself of, like, isn't there stuff you could be doing? Maybe there's nothing I need to be doing. Maybe I've done enough.
I mean, I can understand that to some extent. Obviously, it's different based off of like everything you have on your plate versus everything that I might have on my plate or what's other people in the pro wrestling space have on their plate. But, you know, it is one thing that has really stuck out to me in doing this show and talking to so many people over the time. It's just that it's so much about like just the focus of like moving forward in a lot of instances where if you take the moment to kind of look back, it can be gratifying, but also it can be overwhelming at points.
Right.
And so
and it doesn't assist what I have on my plate going forward either, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. No, and so I can understand that mindset. And I'm curious to ask you, because like obviously around like the Tampa brunch and like the big gay Thanksgiving, and like there was a lot of messaging coming out from you about like, you know, especially when announcing the Philly one, I remember like seeing something about like, get your tickets. Like, you know, you don't want to miss the party, like kind of insinuating like the events might be coming to an end. Was that sort of like a part of that mindset of just feeling overwhelmed from everything that you had going on
there? I think so. And I think I definitely took on more on my plate in this past year than I ever have before. Like I said, like technically this is my 1, 2, 3, 4. This is my fifth in a calendar year gay event, including the gay Thanksgiving that we did before WrestleCade. And that on top of, you know, wrestling 140, 150 matches and going to, you know, 3, 4 continents, it's a lot at once. And so the idea of continuing this cycle of like, there are brunches every 2 or 3 months is a little bit overwhelming to me. And so I sort of want to put it as, hey, we've done a lot of this. We've done a ton of this. I am not disappearing by any means, but I also like with what I have going on in the rest of my career, with what I am hoping to accomplish over the summer and, you know, into what's coming in the fall, I need to make sure that I'm on my A game. I need to make sure that my health and my mental health is at a top. And, you know, not that we're going anywhere forever, but I do need to take a little bit of a pace back on saying, all right, you are doing a lot for others and it's beautiful and the scene needs it. And wrestling looks different because you stepped up and made things happen. But also, you've got to focus on you a little bit before you can pour from your cup anymore at this point. So I want this to be a big party. It's not a going away party per se, but it is a party of like, I don't know how many more brunches there will be over the course of this year. And I would like to, you know, at least give people the chance of like, hey, this is a big one. Let's chill for a second. Let's make sure Effie is actually fine. And then we can jump back into doing more. But I'm not going to hold myself to so much at this point, especially considering, you know, sort of where things are going in the rest of my career.
Yeah. And obviously we'll talk about the Big Gay Brunch 9 coming up in Philly next week, for sure here in a little bit. But, you know, I think I personally, for me, like whenever I'm seeing the stuff that you're putting out there and like kind of like what's kind of pointing to like what you just explained, you know, I think it, for me and some other people, there was like a fear that these events might be going away in some way, shape, or form. Obviously, that's not the case. It's just a matter of like scaling things back, reworking priorities.
And beyond scaling things back, sort of giving up my grip on everything and realizing like, if I'm going to do this going forward, yes, my name is on the front of it. So I feel personally responsible to have a hand in every single thing, which people still come to me and they're like, do you actually book these shows? Do you actually run these shows? And it's like, yeah, I do everything. I mean, I'm sending people's profile pictures to get the graphics done. I'm sending everybody's music in. I'm doing commentary notes. I'm setting up the booking. I'm setting up everything. You know, the help from Brett has been incredible because he's helping me set these buildings up. He's making sure things are set up in that way where, I mean, I could go even further and do more, but having that partnership with GCW, having the support from Brett and GCW has helped me at least be able to take it this far. But there is still so much I have my hands in. And looking around at the people that are on our team, you know, your Pollo Del Mars, your Alley Catches, your Dark Sheiks, you know, Dark Sheik's been booking Hood Slam for years and years and years. And being able to say, okay, Effie is doing a lot of things and it's okay if Effie opens his hands and lets other people sort of help in the regards of maybe bringing in booking or deciding how matches go is okay. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't detract from anything I'm doing. And so sort of trying to reset that to where I am in the correct position. Mm-hmm. The Chicago brunch, for instance, I came in a fury and I just sort of said, if your question gets to me, It's not been through enough people. There are enough adults here to ask first before you come to me. And I remember specifically someone said, can I go over my match with you? And I said, you know the finish. Please go over it with anyone else here. Allie can talk to you. Other people can talk to you. And, you know, finding myself where I wanted to make sure Sunny had a wonderful match coming off of them being let go by AEW, dealing with Pimpinella Escarlata, who I'm going to be wrestling again for the Gringo Loco World on Lucha. I don't speak Spanish. I'm an idiot for it. But those sort of challenges that I was dealing with in my own match, performing on my own show, I didn't have the capacity to help everybody else with their stuff and was sort of in my mind going, you know what? I hired grown adults who are good at this, who do this. They should be able to just do this. And I don't want to come in with that sort of bitter mindset again of like, why aren't you just doing your thing? Why do you need me to help? Without realizing like it's Effie's Big Gay Brunch. Of course, they're going to make sure you're okay with what's happening here.
Thinking back to that first one in Indianapolis and looking at how far this has come now, almost 4 years in, to think that we've had like 10, 11 events at this point, you know, where it's become a staple of Mania Weekend, and just looking at like your own perspective on what this, both what this means, but also what your responsibility is within it. Like how is that changed over time?
I think I'm addicted to sort of poking the bubble, right? And I've kind of brought that up before where, you know, I sort of want to see if reality is able to be changed or altered by my existence. And I think at this point, I've said this and some people kind of, they shudder a little bit because it sounds very egotistical, but I can look across the entire landscape of pro wrestling and say that without me existing, it would look different. I'm not saying someone else wouldn't have stepped up. I'm not saying someone else wouldn't have created the same thing. I mean, there was a need for us to put a highlight back on LGBTQ wrestlers, on gender non-binary wrestlers, on people who don't fit in the mold. But I can say now, all right, I'm looking at everything. The wrestling business looks a lot different than it did before I started doing these things. And that's awesome. But I don't feel a responsibility or a necessity to continue being in that position because a lot of what I've wanted to accomplish has been accomplished. Not that we're done, not that we've, you know, completed the task, but I don't hold myself to like, if I don't do this, no one else will anymore. I sort of hold myself to, I've done this. Who else is going to step up? Because I believe in sharing the pie, but I also have always said, if you're baking your own pie, you're higher up in my book than anybody else. And so your Dark Sheiks, your Billy Dixons, your Mateo Valentines, your Joan Jetsons, who are out here running gay specific or events that feature LGBTQ performers, they are baking their own pies. They are making their own food to eat and they are sharing it with the community. And so to sort of inspire that to happen without my presence necessary or without, you know, me feeling like I have to step in and be a part of every single thing that happens in the community, that's sort of taken the pressure off of me to feel like I have to be there at every step of the way. And I've been able to sort of go like, you know what, Effie, good on you. Good job. Pat yourself on the back. You've done a lot of things. It's okay if you're not doing that's Bebop. Bebop, chill. They're delivering his shark costume. Hey, oh. Hey. Bebop, we're doing an interview. Bebop, he knows his costume has been delivered. He's very excited.
I can imagine. sure. But no, it seems like you're like getting to like, you know, I don't know if healthier is the right word, but like a healthier place with it in a way, like in terms of like not like recognizing the amount of stuff that has to be like, you know, delineated between people. And also,
I have not villainized selfishness. And I think I was villainizing selfishness at a certain point. And some people are going, the show's named after you, blah, 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 blah. You know, clearly Effie comes out and is this big, you know, superstar, whatever. But I've also had that fear in my heart of like, if my name is on it, I can in no way be selfish. You know, if you go back and watch even the match from Chicago, I did one move in the match and I lost. And so now going, hey, selfishness, a little bit of selfishness and a little bit of greed is actually okay for me to keep myself healthy. And I think that's created a much safer environment just for me as a human being to exist in and not, you know, hold myself to a certain standard where I'm going, but, you know, are you putting yourself too much in the forefront here? Are you putting Effie over too much here when I'm trying to do something that helps everybody that's out there?
Yeah. And to your point as well, like I do feel like the more like shows that we see pop up around, you know, centering LGBTQ identities, there's more promotions that we see pop up. You know, like you shouted out a number of people there that are doing great work in their own respective regions. You know, I'll also like shout out for myself, like Peak Sports Entertainment out here in Washington. You know, you have Dust Pro up in Vancouver. You have Pride Style down in Vegas. Like yeah. There's a bunch of other, there's so many, almost every region of the country now has a company or shows yearly that highlight the community in a way to the point where like, if you did want to like, not run five big gay events like you did in 2023, you don't necessarily need to run five big gay events to still service the community in the way that it is. Like it feels
and,
like,
and I mean, even beyond the specific events or specific companies, seeing the integration at regular companies and seeing more LGBTQ superstars use that are not, it's not, it doesn't have to be a gay company to have them over or have them winning or have them being a part of things, especially in the South, seeing, you know, Secret Daughter of Tyr, seeing Soraya Saber, seeing, you know, Josh Locke, seeing these people in the South where, you know, when I was coming up, it was not the greatest place, seeing trans non-binary performers able to come in and just work matches and not have it be some sort of, you know, oh, this is the special gender match. No, it's just wrestling. And that integration is also like, okay, I think we're doing something. I think we're getting somewhere. And no, it's not perfect, but seeing progress in that, it's like, yeah, it's okay, kid. You can take a little seat back. Some stuff is working. There are other people who are stepping up to the plate and making things happen.
No, they definitely are. And I think it kind of puts a bit more of the, like, I remember back whenever the Big Gay Brunch started, and, you know, obviously this was around the time that Butch versus Gore was also starting up as well. Like, remember the first event was announced. Obviously, it didn't happen until later in the year. But I always loved, like, the way that Billy described it was, like, Big Gay Brunch is like queer WrestleMania, and Butch vs. Gore was like queer Starcade in a way. And to like, to have like, not have that idea of Big Gay Brunch being the queer WrestleMania be diluted, not to say that like running more events dilutes it, you know what I mean? But like having, there's always a sense of like specialness that comes whenever you have less of something in a way, right?
And the sort of idea of like, when people are tagging me saying you should do a Big Gay Brunch in St. Louis, you should do a Big Gay Brunch in Austin, you should do a Big Gay Brunch in Denver, in Portland, and all these places. Yes, I want to. That's great. But I know that, you know, we are restricting these events to sort of larger areas because I want it to be easy for people to get to. I want it to be built around something bigger where people are already around. And I want it to be a focus away from everything else in wrestling that's happening in those big specific weekends to say like, hey, we're here too. And our shows rip. Our shows are incredible. You know, I as a standalone, it's worked. We can do it. But having that support from people who are already going to be around and in town, I mean, not that it's a crutch, but it's a wonderful thing to already have people around and say, we can be an option to what you're doing in that week. And it takes a lot of the, you know, work off of me as well to be able to host them in that WrestleMania, queer WrestleMania sense.
Mm-hmm. It definitely does. I also like the aspect of having it sit like as part of these weekends because, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of people that are going to be going to other shows at the Collective that are going to go to Big Gay Brunch, and that might be their first time interacting with the queer community in any way. You know, it exposes new people to that aspect of culture, to that aspect of what our community brings to pro wrestling, and it shows them how much it fucking rips, because it does. Like, you know, like, there's a reason why this show sold out before you announced a single match.
Yeah, and it's not just because it's me. Idea that like, oh, well, before you announced anything, it's sold out, it must be Effie. It's not. It's the fact that they go, we know Effie is going to put the right people on this show. We know Effie is going to book a show that features the people we want to see and features the sickest matches. It's not a me thing that sells it out. It's a trust in me to curate out and put the right people in. And I hope that, you know, looking over the card, that that kind of shows through, because I don't think we've held anything back on this one.
I don't think you have either. Obviously, the cards are subject to change in some instances for sure. Yeah. You know, with the you know, the retirement of Ziki Haim and that sort of thing. But what you have announced for the show so far, I mean, Billy Dixon and Rina Yamashita for the Ultra Violent Championship, you know, well,
yeah, and somebody said, well, oh, I didn't know Rina was queer, and I don't know if Rina is queer or not either. We haven't had those convos. She's very flirty with me and Allie, so who knows? But to be able to say, hey, Billy Dixon, you've had incredible death matches, you've had incredible matches, and for me to sort of be able to say, hey, I can convince GCW to give you a shot at this ultraviolent title at a big gay brunch. It's not just, hey, look at us, we're queer. It's, I'm going to make queer people have the matches they deserve to have. And so to put that on the card is like, yeah, look, Billy rules. Billy's great. Also, they're going to have a match where this title is on the line. And let's see if Billy can hold their own against, you know, one of the best ultraviolent wrestlers in the world today.
Hey. I mean, that's honestly kind of what helped build the Big Gay Brunch brand in a way with, back in Tampa the first time around with him and AJ Gray. That pup collar match was like a huge moment for that show. You know, like, it makes total sense. Like, you put him in the ring with someone who maybe isn't part of the community, but represents something to the wrestling community as a whole, you know, whether queer, straight, whatever, you know. Like, I really like that idea. Plus, I mean, let's just face it, Billy is always up for getting bloody here and there.
Yeah. And, you know, Billy's one of my favorites to watch because, you know, me and Billy are similar in that, like, no, we're not going to hit 7 450s. We're not going to, you know, jump off the top of the balcony necessarily, but we see the story and we see the inherent structure of being able to tell a tale throughout the course of a match. And Billy's a masterful storyteller when it comes to that. And when you include the blood and include the violence, and, you know, I'm looking at Billy running For the Culture this week, that Friday night right before, we're both going to have a long night. I've got, you know, I've got my spring break match. Billy has Darius Carter and they have a big history at For the Culture and running the show as well. And so for us Saturday morning to be able to just like survive through this, I said, baby, we're going to go get food after this. We're going to rest. And then we've got to be back for the clusterfuck.
Mania weekend never stops.
But, it, you know, it is awesome, too, because me and Billy Dixon started out and, you know, we were doing shows that aren't around anymore. We were trying our best to get our footing in the wrestling scene as two queer people, and to be able to stand next to Billy, and we're both showrunners at this point, and we've both survived through all of the storms of what wrestling is. You know, half the battle of wrestling is sticking around, and both of us have stuck around, both of us have made a mark and made a legacy on what wrestling is. And it's like, it's an honor to be able to be in Philadelphia, Billydelphia, and have a moment and be able to say, you deserve this match, you deserve this, but also, girl, when it's time to rest, me and you are resting, and we are going to, I said, we're having a prayer circle after the brunch and we're going to go get food.
Honestly, that would be very, very well deserved at that point.
I think
for both of y'all. For both.
And,
of
you know,
y'all.
Also, Billy, like, this is a dead serious match. That Tampa match with Maid Kira was all my shit. And so, you know, you've got something where Akira is also a deathmatch wrestler. Akira is pansexual. And to have them come out as Maid Kira, have their first match as Maid Kira, and them have a bit of a sillier moment, it's like, that's a well-rounded performer. That's what I need to see. And Billy can do those fun moments as well as be dead-ass serious. And I admire that about them.
True. I mean, last time we saw dead-ass serious Billy Dixon around Mania Weekend was him and Hoodfoot. Let's be real. And,
yeah.
And my God, that match still lives in my brain.
Yeah.
At this point. So
Billy knows how to turn it all the way on. You know, I think that's it's something we have in common where there's a perception of Effie as sort of a goofy or silly or sexy character. But, you know, when it comes down to it, we are willing to go all the way in getting dead serious and doing what we have to do to get the job done.
Yeah. And that's really what I love about the Big Gay Brunch cards as a whole, honestly, is because you do run the gamut between all of those things every time out. You know, you have your Rena and Billy, you have your Sawyer and Maxine Paler, which, holy fuck.
You know, both of them came to me and I said, what kind of matches do you want to have? And they both said, oh, we want to wrestle like little twinks or something. And I said, what if we just put them against each other? So I caught them both a little off guard with that. But, you know, you got to give the people what they want.
Exactly.
Two giants battling it out who are not scared to almost die every time they're in the ring.
No, we've seen what they can do to others.
Yes.
And now you have these two like giants of the community.
Two hosses just coming.
Oh my
just
God.
Coming together. And how does that force field break? You know,
will Billydelphia survive? That's the true question.
I think Philadelphia will survive.
Yes. But you have like these matches, but you also have like, you know, the runway with Jamie Senegal and Edith Surreal going up against each other in tag team matches. You have the debuting Monomoth coming in a outstanding four way. As soon as you announced Monomoth was coming in, I'm like, he has to, like, they have to wrestle either Devon or Rico. So you just
put them
both together.
Looking down the card, and, you know, God bless Brett, because I'm going, you know, Aaron Rourke and Monomoth would be sick. Rico and Monomoth would be sick. Devon and Monomoth would be sick. And then Brett sort of goes, just do a sick four-way, give them all the time they want, and let's show out. And, you know, I think what's fun too is it used to be something that me and Brett would, you know, squabble a little over, where he'd say, like, I don't know who this is. And he wasn't saying it because he didn't want to have them on the card. He was saying it because he's going, like, I need to be introduced. I'd like to know more. And now there's this inherent level of trust when I go, hey, we're going to bring in Monomoth from Thailand, and we're going to have them come in. And Brett goes, I don't know who that is. Let me know what we need to do. And it's sort of like, there's the trust of, like, if Effie thinks this person is sick, we are bringing this person in. And luckily, we've got a lot of people coming to the show, and it helps us with our budget to be able to provide foreign talents from outside the country coming into WrestleMania, coming into Philadelphia. And, you know, they've been here for Daikaiju Pro, which runs up in the, you know, Beyond Territory area. They've had wonderful matches with Landon Hale. Landon Hale was just over there with Setup TH, the company yes. over there. And luckily now we get a bigger platform for Monomoth, because they are beautiful, gorgeous, magical, angelic, but also so dead serious in the ring. And I know with Rico and Devon and with Aaron Rourke, they're ready to show out too. Like, you know, they've all been on the come up. They're all ready for that next level. And I think this is going to be a match that we can look back on in a few years and go, this was a real, like, stapling point and part that everybody finally understood. These are mainstays now. These are regulars that you need to be bringing in, people you need to be looking at constantly. And hopefully, you know, the fans like it as much as I'm going to like it. Billy did message me about this match and goes, is this just a match where you show that everyone of every race is hot to you? And I was like, well, they're good wrestlers, but also everybody in this match is freaking hot.
I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah, like it checks out.
Billy said, it looks like you put together a diverse boy band that you were like Simon Cowling. And I was like, okay, it's a wrestling match, but you're not wrong. Everyone in this match is scorching hot and very good at wrestling. So yeah. I give the people what they want.
Yes. There's a duality to art. There always is.
Of course. I don't want to see not hot people get in fights.
No, but then you also have, like, you know, Dark Sheik and Sunny Kiss.
Dream one-on-one match.
My God, yes.
Never happened.
That's the thing that blows my mind, is that, like, this match hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Honestly.
And, you know, Dark Sheik, you know, cut this promo before Tampa where they were wrestling Shea Monet. Shea Monet debuting from across the pond. You know, they're Scottish, but they wrestle a lot in England in that area. And, you know, Sheik sort of said, oh, am I not good enough for the big Mickey James match? Am I not good enough for the big Sunny Kiss match? Am I not good enough for this? And I love that attitude of Dark Sheik going, like, I'll do whatever you want, but also, like, I am deserving. And I think they showed out so much in that match. Brett was standing backstage. I'm watching him going, this match is incredible. Like, this match is ripping. It's the only match on that card where I go, I don't care what y'all do. I don't care how long y'all go. Y'all are both sick at wrestling. And so now to have Sunny back on the brunch, you know, we didn't see Sonny in Tampa. We saw Sonny in Chicago, and Sonny doing something solo and singles against Dark Sheik. Like, let's get it, girls. Like, show up, show out. This is going to be incredible.
No, I mean, it makes sense, you know, just because, like, watching that match that Sheik and Shay had in Tampa, my God, was it just fucking blow away brilliant.
And
it just so good.
And neither of them held back anything at all. It wasn't like they had to change to their opponent. Both of them are so, you know, technically sound and understand wrestling that everything anybody wanted to do was done with precision.
No, exactly. And I feel like it was such a huge, like, moment for Shay, you know, making his US debut in that way and having that kind of match his first time out in the States as well, you know. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about the Big A Brunch UK that ran last year and that sort of thing, because, you know, Shay is a huge part of that over there. But it just, I don't know, it was just amazing to see, like, him get that moment and to see, like, him and Sheik kind of meet each other in that way, and to have that influence Brett to be like, okay, like, this fucking rips. Like, obviously,
right.
like Dark Sheik is, you know, has some, like, there's some Dark Sheik fandom with Brett Lauderdale, right? There's a reason
100%.
Why, because, yeah, I mean, let's face it, like, she's a staple of GCW at this point for a fucking
and
reason.
Also, Brett loves that you can present Sheik with anything. Like, yes. Here's your match, Sheik, and she's like, great. And there's never why is this happening? What is this? What is that? You know, even me this weekend not being there for Detroit and Rochester, I know there was a little disappointment. I will be back. But giving the chance for Ali and Sheik to just tag as the mothership and not have to deal with Effie, you know, like there's benefit to people seeing like, oh, both of them are so fucking sick and Effie does not need to be there. I need those moments too, because it is always sometimes stuck to Effie. And, you know, not that I'm holding anybody back, but I'm of a different brain wavelength than those two wrestlers. And I like to see that they can kind of go full force and get the job done.
Exactly. And I think that's been another thing that's been really gratifying to see, is to like see audiences embrace Ali and Sheik. Like separate from Bussy.
I mean, Ali was voted like two or three top independent wrestlers in the world in the last PWI when they were doing the awards. And so like the love is there. And sometimes it's like, not that I'm in the way, but I don't want anybody to have to, the shadow of Effie can be large. And I'm not saying this as like, look at me, I'm Effie. I'm saying it is like, sometimes I need to pull back from the situation and go like, y'all need a spotlight moment. People are sometimes looking at Effie a little too much. And so like, people need to see that like, yeah, Ali does a little carrying of Effie sometimes. Sheik does a little carrying of Effie sometimes. When they don't have to carry my big gay ass, it's lovely to see what they can accomplish.
No, and obviously Sheik's going to get another huge opportunity to show that with Sonny. I have no doubt that that is just going to be another blowaway match in the same way that her and Shay
it's
was.
Me also going like, Sonny Kiss, please God, everybody look. And you know, they did that run with Impact after the brunch, which I thought was great. I think AEW fumbled the bag for a lot of reasons where, you know, personally, I'm not going to get into all of my thoughts on that because I don't want anybody, you know, to get in trouble because of it. But continuing to be able to go like, are y'all paying attention or not? Look at Sonny Kiss. Sonny Kiss has such a fucking high ceiling when it comes to pro wrestling of all sorts that I'm going to keep highlighting and putting them in the right spot until people pay the fuck attention. They can be a main event player. They can be a champion. They can be a single star. And just because you are confused by how they present themselves, or you are confused by how to present them because you're not willing to ask people, hey, what has worked for you in the past, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't detract from anything that is in that person and is in them being a star. So keep up, kids. Here's two people that you on a gender level don't quite understand what to do with, and they're going to have one of the best matches of the entire weekend.
Yes, exactly. And I love that that's another like huge sticking point for this, because like
Electric,
yes,
Fantastic, fuck you. I continue to keep the middle fingers up. Yes, to go like, y'all exactly are missing out.
Very much so. And like, obviously, like it's, there's plenty to like commend, and there's plenty to like critique about how like mainstream pro wrestling companies have handled, you know, people of, you know, whether it be trans or non-binary or gender fluid or, you know, gender non-conforming people in the pro wrestling space, obviously. But at the same time, like, it feels like there still needs to be a point made to a lot of these, to a lot of people about like just where they fit into this space, what they can do. And, you know, that it's not that complicated to like book them.
I mean, the
in
real
a way
complication
that, yeah,
comes from the fact that wrestling is still sucking a corporate teat. I'll just be honest.
Well,
and
yes.
So even if people objectively are saying, yes, this performer is sick, they're drawing fans, the people love when they wrestle, we're worried about what our advertisers will think. We're worried about what our corporate funding will think. That mindset is going to hold us back from getting back to anything bigger in wrestling. And for us to keep going like, we have to make sure that corporate America is okay with it, versus going, hey, corporate America, if you actually want to make money, this is what's going to do it, and holding them by the hand a little bit, instead of going, well, they told us not to. They don't fucking know. They sell Glade plugins. They sell Tide Pods. They sell fucking, you know, DirecTV. Who gives a shit what they think? You are telling them what is going to bring in people, what is going to bring in money, what is going to work, and they can follow suit. They don't get to have the moral high ground in whatever their fantasy is. They need to be told what is going to make money here. And until we turn the tables around and go, we're doing this, you can get on board or not, they're going to keep having that control to say, we don't think this is where the wrestling needs to go because we're worried we'll lose money. Guess what? They're all losing fucking money. They brought The Rock back. You think that's a move that shows how strong everything is? I know things are great right now, but like, that's a real, like, we better pull the gun out. We've got nothing left to do. We've got to bring The Rock back to do stuff like that. When you've got to, you know, sign Okada for $4.5 million, when you've got to pay Mercedes Moné whatever she wants, y'all are not saying we are in a strong position based on the talent that is on the come up. Y'all are going, we're running out of ideas that they are okay with, and we have to do whatever we have to do to make it happen, versus saying, if we followed what we see Effie doing that is successful, what we see other people doing that is successful, the advertisers will follow, or we will find new advertisers. We got to stop playing to their card.
No, exactly. And I think a very good...
I've been yelling this for years, Brian.
Oh, trust me. I know. Like, every time that we chat, it comes up, because it's the fucking truth. And right. I think, honestly, the best, like, representation of that, like, right now that we have is, like, look at what Maxine Impaler's been doing, right? Max, like, obviously it's not necessarily a one-to-one with, like, you know, the corporate structure of WWE versus, like, you know, what goes on with CyberFight and Tokyo Joshi Pro, but just look at, like, what Max has done in Japan with that company over the last year.
Right.
You know,
and
even
me,
like,
me and Max had to have a talk, though, because, you know, I was saying some pretty derogatory things about the NWA, about Billy Corgan, and I stand by that, but I had to sort of go to Max privately and say, listen, I am pro wrestler. I am pro Max. I have seen Max say, oh, is this the limit of what you think I can do? Here's more and more and more and more. And they have had to bend to Max the Impaler. And I think that, you know, if you are someone who can take these companies and make them change what they're doing, who can go to Japan and take over a company like that, to win the belts like that, to combine NWA belts like that, you are actually helping prove my point, which is they're wrong. And if they were right, they would be doing better. And when they take the chance on someone who is a strong, solid, incredible performer, that they will finally see. And so, yes, I'm going to be on the outside throwing rocks, going, I don't like these things about you. But Max, on the inside, I'm not throwing the rocks at you. I'm throwing the rocks so that you can go, yeah, I bet if you listen for 1 second and listen to me, listen to Max, that things would be better. And so, you know, I'm pro wrestler. I don't know how else to put it. And what Maxine Impaler has been able to accomplish, they are on fire. They are unstoppable. And they have forced a space. They have cut through the lines of the jungle and said, this is my path. And there is a big line of people trying to follow them through it now.
No, exactly. And to that same end, like, it's always about criticizing the company, criticizing the corporation, not the people that are there building it up, because, you know, let's face it, like you said, like, Max has drawn completely new boundaries in a company like NWA and in Tokyo Joshi Pro as well, you know, like, and it's just, it's amazing to see and to know that, like, there's now more of a path for the people that come, right, that come after there. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning into LGBT in the Ring. We're just going to take a quick break here to let you know ways that you can support the show. And say thank you to some very rad people that help make this show as amazing as it is. First off, if you would like to support the show, we are on Patreon now. Patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Multiple tiers there for everyone that feels so moved to support this show. We've got numerous patron benefits over there, including bonus shows that are going to be coming out monthly, roundtable of those sort of things. So definitely go over and check us out. Again, patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Every single dollar that is pledge there to support the show is very, very humbling, and we thank you. We also have a merch store over on Brainbuster Tees. Go to brainbustertees.com and search LGBT in the Ring. We got t-shirts, tank tops, all kinds of good stuff. And, you know, always looking at some new things as well. But definitely check us out on Brainbuster Tees there as well. You can follow the show on social media as well. We're everywhere that we have accounts. We're at LGBT Ring Pod. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, co-host, Mastodon, whatever. We're there. So follow the show there. You can follow me at WonderboyOTM on Twitter and Instagram as well. We also want to give a huge thank you to Sarah and the Safe Word for the show's theme, Formula 666 from the album Red Hot and Holy. You can find them on Twitter at STSWBand, or you can check out their music on both Spotify and Bandcamp. Another great way to support the show is over at independentwrestling.tv. Check out IWTV for the best in current and classic independent pro wrestling, including live events from top independent promotions worldwide. You can use our code LGBTRingPod or visit the URL tinyurl.com/IWTVLGBT. And whenever you, as long as you use that code to open your account and keep that active, we get a kickback from IWTV. So your subscription to watch all the great wrestling that we talk about on this show goes to support the show as well. Thumbs up there. Of course, if you want to read more of my pro wrestling writing, you can check out outsports.com. And if you are into video games, I also co-host a video game news Twitch stream every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. It's called the Mr. Video Game Super Show. I co-host that with two dear friends and Twitch streamers, Slacker Kite and Lady Marowyn. Just run through the week's gaming news, or we throw on a game and play and just have fun and be dumb. It's great. But you can check that out every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at twitch.tv/deadsunentertainment, sun like the star. With that said, let's get back to the show.
You know, to bring it back to Effie, of course, my view is if your back doesn't hurt, if you don't bump and you make money off of wrestling, I don't give a fuck what you think. You need to be asking the wrestlers, the performers, the mainstay, the primary of why people are showing up, what is going to work, what is going to expand these companies. Us listening to them, it's dead. It's done. They need to be going, where does this company need to go? What is going to work? You're the performer out there listening to the fans, seeing what fans are into, seeing what they are getting behind. I don't think anybody who's not bumping in that ring needs to be telling anyone who is what is going to work and not work in wrestling anymore.
Hmm. I can understand that point for sure. You know, and obviously you're never going to find me on this show like decrying the rights of the worker, the rights of the laborer.
No, but you're also, right? You're here to support and to find out and to learn. These are people who are within the corporation and within the structure going, our payday is dependent on if this works or not. And instead of asking the people who are doing the work that makes it work, they are just going, well, let's just try this and use you like a little action figure, instead of seeing that we are of our own mind and we can make our own decisions.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I completely understand that point. Like, you know, I've seen that myself in places, and I'm not even in like the inner workings of this shit, right? Like, I think that's a pretty like clear thing that you can take away from a lot of pro wrestling presentations at this point. So like, I'm here for the worker led cause, and you know, more making sure that those voices are centered in these things. And it just
Effie demands union.
I guess it just bewilders me that there's still people out here that are like, I know what's better about doing this. Not to say that there can't be like outside voices that have a perspective that is valuable, but to have that be the only perspective is like that is what bewilders me. Is like, if you don't even understand like for instance, when we did the Cascadia show like a year and a half back or whatever up here, like, I didn't just jump into that by myself. Like, I reached out to other promoters. I reached out to other wrestlers to be like, hey, does this idea sound like it could work? Right? I think you have to have a certain level of arrogance about yourself to think that if you have no experience, like, in the actual, like, running day-to-day, being in the ring, doing anything like that, being around pro wrestling, and to think that you know better and can do something better. Like, that is just, it's mind-boggling that you would even think that. I can't, I don't want to encounter the level of arrogance that comes with that.
Yeah, me neither, and I won't.
I know you won't. Well, let's talk about this main event real quick.
Yeah.
Bussy versus Dirty Breeze. Obviously, coming off of the match with MXM down in Tampa, which was just, my God, just the perfect showcase for those two coming back and to see how that they interact with Effie and Alley Catch in the ring there. Like, I love the idea of like, okay, you did the bit, now we're forcing you to fucking go all the way with it. in a way.
Yeah. Oh, you want to play? Let's play.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, God bless MXM too, though, Mason Mansoor, because not only did I have the main event with GCW the night before with Mance Warner, I also spent the whole night in the hospital getting my head restapled. And so the next day with them, you know, we kind of met up and we had chatted a little the night before, Mansoor working with Tony Deppen and Mace hanging out backstage with us. And I sort of said, listen, guys, my head is stapled. I'm still going to wrestle. I've got to run the show. Allie will help you call the match and put things together. I cannot bump. I'm going to win. And I'm giving you a little bit of too much insider information, but they were just like, okay, whatever we got to do. And luckily, me and Dan the Dad are going to face Mason Mansoor this weekend. I have a feeling without my head stapled, they're going to put me through a bit more punishment. But, you know, having them on board to do whatever and do this weird stuff and completely jump in on what the gay brunch is about was so sick. And if I show you all my sent emails, you can see I've been trying to make Dirty Breeze and Effie and Allie happened for like 3 years, and finally we have been able to get it done. Fandango is in, Tyler Breeze is in. This is a huge main event for Philly. You know, I'm not allowed to call them Fashion Police, I guess, but it's Bussy versus the Fashion Police, and I think it's gonna get so weird. The thing is, Tyler Breeze, you know, especially with Sean Spears down there at what is the school called? I don't want to mess this up. They have a school in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Breeze has been doing more work with WWE. Sean Spears is back with NXT. You know, they have a pedigree of actual wrestling that is very high. Fandango, taking nothing from him. He's had wonderful matches with myself and with Allie at the Big Gay Brunch. And now to have them together with Bussy, the complete meal, like, I'm so excited just to see what chaos we can come up with. I think back to Fashion Police versus the Usos, which was very silly but also a very good professional wrestling match, and I want to provide all facets of what this can be by having those two on. And I'm glad they know what the deal is, because they're excited and willing to play along. But Pussy's bringing the heat. You know, I think we're underestimated still because we're a man and a woman, because we're queer, because we're this, we're that. But you know, at the end of the day, Ali is a very, very good professional wrestler. I'm a very, very good sports entertainer. And I think putting that together, we're going to have a hell of a main event for this show.
How fun is it for you to take like these people that, you know, are gone from WWE, but during their time in WWE, obviously were portraying heavily queer coded characters. And much like what happened with MXM, like this idea of like, okay, come to our world, we're going to force you to go all the way with this thing and not just what WWE thinks is being queer.
I think what was so fun about that is them realizing, like, you know, there's a very structured way that WWE presents wrestling, even when it is silly, even when it is out there. And I think, you know, about halfway through the match, there's always this moment with Bussy where you make the eye contact with them and they're like, holy shit, this is fun. We're in control of what's happening. We can take all the time we want. The weird stuff you were presenting backstage is actually hitting with the audience. We're not in a rush to do anything. It sort of is like this wonderful, I used to call it the Effie epiphany, where I wrestle these guys who've been on TV and they've had this structure and they've had this way of doing matches, where they get through a match with me and they're like, that was enjoyable and fun and the fans were into it. And I'm like, that's how it should always be. So I'm not saying we're going to teach them anything new, but it does seem to be a moment where, like, people remember what wrestling actually is. It's us in a room with a lot of people saying, how can we garner reaction? How can we use all of these skills, these millions of ways to get the biggest reaction out of a room, versus here's what we need, here's what your cameras need, here's what needs to hit. We are opening the floodgates to sort of a wild, freeform, burlesque fighting party that I think gives a lot more freedom back to the performer.
No, and that's, I mean, that's amazing to see, because like, I feel like that freedom is something that is needed in the pro wrestling space. If you don't
and
have
it's
that.
It's something I've struggled with too, which is, I look back at your Terry Funks, at your Gorgeous Georges, at your, you know, even your Bruno Sammartinos. And, you know, I see these skills developed as workers versus wrestlers, where they're going into a space. They are not necessarily planning every part of their match out. They are not necessarily planning every moment. They are feeling a room. They are feeling what they're into. And there's a struggle as a performer to go, I am starting to get really good at this thing called working, that was originally the sense of what pro wrestling was, getting the biggest reaction out of a room, using wrestling to do it. And then look, looking around you and going, but all of the next level, all of the hierarchy, all of the ways where I can make more money, these things are not valuing what that skill is. So what does it mean to have that skill anymore if it is not valued? And so, of course, in Effie fashion, I'm going, well, I'm going to make it valuable for me. And if other people see the value in that and see the joy in that and can reignite their excitement for what wrestling actually is, then great. Let's go see what happens.
Mm. To from that extreme end, like the big gay brunch extreme end of that, to another extreme end of that, I feel like that same message can apply to what you and Mance Warner have been doing over the last 4 months or so. You know, I've seen you in other interviews like so far this year talking about, you know, wanting to bring back, like, you know, believability, realism with this feud, and motherfucker, have y'all. I mean, fucking, like,
yeah,
Jesus, like, you got Mance out here fucking stabbing people with screwdrivers, fucking ripping out your hair, pouring gasoline on people, like stabbing Allie's mother in the fucking forehead with a screwdriver,
with scissors,
like,
with scissors, garden, that's right, shears, scissors that night.
God damn. Like,
I did that interview before we had really even had a match or that much of a confrontation, and I think there were some people rolling their eyes at it, like, oh, F, he's talking about believability. But unfortunately, I have proven my point, which is there is space for this believability. And sadly, you know, when you have someone who is that close of a friend to you turn on you and put their back to you and want to kill you, there is a level of forgiveness that you don't have with other performers. I know them. I know them too well. And because of that, the level of forgiveness when there is violence, when my head is stapled, when I am whipped with a strap, when my hair is ripped out of my head. I mean, this is a shoot. My hair was ripped out of my head. This is real. And so for us to be able to do this feud where, you know, we've technically had two matches, but being able to run this story through a bunch of shows, through our friend groups, through people that are close to me, and me saying there's a right way to do these things, and him saying, I don't give a fuck, I'll do whatever it takes to be champion, there's no rules here. Having those dichotomies of belief go against each other with two people who, I mean, spent the last 3, 4, 5 years in hotel rooms complaining about, why are we not on top? Why are we not at the peak of the business? Why are we going out to the huge reactions and other people are being put in these top spots? And having him sort of finally decide, well, I guess if I'm going to do it, I'm going to just have to do it with you and fuck me over. It's not the most wonderful feeling all the time. Every time somebody tells me the feud is so sick, I seem to have a new concussion. But I think that, you know, throughout the year and with the story that's being told, in the end, you know, I hope other people can follow. And being able to see people, you know, at other companies, at TV companies that are signed, pull us aside and say, like, this is crazy. I haven't seen stuff like this in wrestling in years. And I'm not going to have to name names, but, you know, having your peers at that level say, we are paying attention to this, we are watching this, we think this is great. It is a little validating, but I'm very concerned because neither one of us is very good at saying no to pain or to suffering or to dangerous ideas. And what's been crazy so far is these have been some of the most brutal matches I've been a part of. These have been some of the most bloody matches I've been a part of. We have not used a single pane or tube of glass at all yet. And that's not off the table. And so to see that we can keep raising the bar and raising the level of violence, of believability, of realism, of hatred within this feud, I think is going to blow people's minds when they see where this is headed.
No, I mean, and speaking to that aspect of like continuing to build on these things, like, let's face facts, like, these matches really even haven't had, like, you know, the more like traditional like endings either, you know,
right.
Like there haven't been like pinfalls. Like, it's just like Mance just, it's like, it's just violence happens. And then like the locker room empties and like people are just shocked at what has occurred in the ring. And then that's just it. Like
in a GCW sense, for things to get thrown out in that way, to have that level of violence where even Game Changer Wrestling, home of deathmatch, home of no rules, is going, stop the fucking press, we're not doing this. Yeah. That's like it's a level of, you know, violence that is kind of even new for us. And, you know, I'm in a lot of pain. Part of that is probably why I'm like, let me take a step back from doing brunch. I'm worried about, you know, who's going to show up for the gay brunch Saturday. You know, I'm with the last one of me showing up and saying, Brett, I don't know what I can do. My head is stapled. I feel horrible. You know, my hair getting ripped out. It's a thing where I don't really know what's going to happen. And I'm going to come full force because I have been gifted with this opportunity to showcase myself as a main event player, as someone who is on top, as someone who the fans are coming to see, be dead serious. And I'm not taking that lightly. And I'm willing to kind of put my whole existence on the line to make sure we're giving the story that needs to be told.
No, I mean, and obviously this is all like pointing to towards that I Quit match that y'all have scheduled for Joey Janela's spring break on Friday night. Obviously, like you said, like we're seeing these things build upon one another. We're seeing the levels of violence compound upon one another. And you're talking about like, we haven't even seen glass really used in this yet. Like what can, in your mind, like what can people expect that night?
I don't think either of us is built to quit. So in my mind, it is going to be even more violent, is going to be even more up there. Bebop's very concerned about me barking down here right now. I think it's going to be a position where we're going to have to force one another into a spot where they've got to give up. And I don't know what that takes. I don't know what that means. I know my friends have kind of shown up for me before. I'm asking them to not be a part of this at all. I want this to just be me and Mance. Mance doesn't have any friends anymore. He sort of turned on everyone. And I think this is something I have to handle for myself. This is something I've got to go out and find out, my limits as a man. And hopefully, we survive it. But, it's also a sense of like, is there a point where neither of us can even move or neither of us can even, get up to things? And with it being spring break, there's a lot of wild stuff on this card. The expectation of going all the way with a match at a Joey Janela spring break is right there. I mean, you can't half-ass a spring break. This is the biggest independent wrestling show of the year.
Yeah, no, obviously expectations. Oh, excuse me.
You're fine.
Obviously expectations are high for sure. Based on what we've seen already, like I have no reason to doubt that those won't be met. It's just a matter of like, what limits will there be, if any, at this point? Like, and I love, that's the aspect about what has been occurring between the two of you that I love. Obviously, I don't like what it's doing to your body. I always want people to be like healthy and feel good and that sort of thing, even though I know that's a weird thing to like harp on in the pro wrestling space in a way, because constantly are you know.
Yeah, but this is a little further. And, yeah. My weakness really is that I keep harping on the fact that I'm 33. I'm in my Christ year. This is the week after Easter. And in the back of my mind, I'm going like, is this when I finally get my 3 days off? Does he just kill me and give me 3 days off before I'm resurrected? But sadly, there's no 3 days to take off. I got to be up for a brunch in 10 hours or whatever it may be. So, I'm hoping that sadistic side of me that's a little bit more submissive than I'd like to admit doesn't take over, and that I'm able to dom the situation out and put Mance through enough hell to rise on Saturday morning and, still run a show and be the main event of my own show.
Mm-hmm. I have faith that you can top Mance. All right.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think I can top Mance. And he's got that hair I can pull on now.
Yep. Well, Effie, before we let you go, I did want to talk to you a little bit about Big A Brunch UK. Obviously, yeah. That was a huge thing last year. They made the announcement last year that it's coming back again in 2024.
Mm-hmm. I'm working on dates now. It's been difficult with me.
I can understand that, for sure. It was just so wild to see like how far this Big A Brunch branding has expanded. Going back to like 2020, I couldn't have thought that it was going to become like an international event in that way. And how special is it for you to see, like, obviously the UK has a very bustling and growing and young scene of LGBTQ pro wrestlers over there. I think this past year in the QWI 200 was like the most UK talent that I've ever included in it, because they're just fucking killing it over there. How special is it for you to see this thing that you and Brett, created start to get this like international recognition in the way that it has?
It's crazy. And it's also really wild that now, look at this boy. This boy's coming up. That now, like, being a part of the show is an accomplishment in itself, and it is a validation in itself. So to have, you know, stars want to be a part of this and to have it be something that they can put on their resume that means something, it's incredible. And, you know, it's not lost on me how, you know, I've created something that's sort of gone beyond my expectations, obviously, of what I was going to be able to get done with just going, I'm mad there's not shows for us, I'm going to make shows for us. And luckily, you know, with TNT Extreme being able to step in and help, being able to showcase all the talent over there. And we didn't even get to showcase everybody. There are so many more LGBTQ talents over there that I still would love to have on our show to make happen. You know, it's another show that sold out almost immediately, not because of my name, but because they knew I was going to scout the right people out. I was going to find the people to make this show special, and being able to bring Dark Sheik and Ali and Pero, you know, God bless him, over to the show to, you know, sort of bolster that reputation that we have in the United States while also highlighting all of these stars that are across, you know, the world, really. It's been magical. And, you know, I want to come back this year. We're working on dates this year. It's probably going to be a fall date, you know, when we're coming through. You know, it's still going to happen. I still have people saying, oh, I guess it's not going to happen now because it was in May of last year. But, you know, I was dealing with a lot this last year too with, you know, Friday, I ran the big gay brunch in Liverpool. Monday, I was in court for possession of edibles. It was a real dichotomy of who Taylor is and who Effie is. Yeah. And, you know, because of that, I'm glad 2023 is behind me. And I'm hoping the return to 2024, there's not the guess of, is this even going to work? Is this possible? We're now kind of returning and saying, we knew this happened. We knew this worked. I have the right team on the ground with the TNT people. I have the right talent on the ground with your Shea Monets, your Visage, your Commander Stephanie Sterlings, your people that are there in England on the ground working. That I think it's going to be something that's even a little bit easier on me to do this time. And hopefully we can keep kind of highlighting the talent that's over there. And you know, do they all need to be called Effie's Big Gay Brunch? I don't know. But seeing Shea Monet now running their own Pride show this summer, I believe in Scotland, doing that, it's like you're not giving them permission, but you're going, this is a thing that can work. And if you want to put in the effort to do it, you've got a chance and you've got the talent and you've got people here that are going to be behind you and support you. So it's really just expanding that mentality of like, we're out here. There are people that are for us. I hope that, you know, more fans can see it and more opportunities come up for these talents to be a part of things.
Yeah. And we saw it last year, you know, in both before and in the wake of that, you know, obviously companies like, you know, PCW and Iron Girders, like you mentioned with Shay, you know, running Pride events, you know, WAW running their annual Pride event up there, not to mention like companies like True Grit and Riot Cabaret and like a number of other places in the UK that are embracing UK talent, queer talent in the UK on their shows. In prominent spots, in historic spots, really, especially looking at, you know, what Kid Bandit and Stephanie Sterling were able to do over there last year. Like, there's a lot of, it's a very, very healthy space right now. And I feel like the continuing of having these big gay brunch cards, it's just a matter of like, you proved your point with the first one. Now it's just how big can we make this showcase over there going forward?
Yeah. And can I survive long enough to get over there?
That too. That's always the caveat.
Yeah. I often say infinite spirit, limited meat suit, and, you know, having other people that are on the ground helping and getting things done and, you know, making something like an FE event happen, it is absolutely necessary at this point. And, you know, I want to be able to say, yes, it's Effie's Big Gay Brunch, but highlighting those people that are really putting in the work, giving them the opportunity to do it on their own, that's even more important at this point. Because, like, I'm not saying I'm going anywhere. I'm not saying I'm retiring at any point. I know my body. I feel better than I felt in a long time. Not smoking weed, it turns out. I'm really good at wrestling when I'm not smoking weed. I did it for years and I was good. And now I'm even better not doing it. I think I've got a long, road ahead of me that's going to continue expanding the scene, seeing what independent wrestling really means, doing whatever I can do. But if the day comes that I am not here, I hope I've left a bit of a blueprint where nobody feels lost or nobody feels like, oh, we don't know what to do now that Effie's not here running shows. That's obsolete. They know what to do. They know that it can draw fans. They know that it can make money, and they are going to be able to step right in and make it happen whether I'm there or not.
No. And that's, I think, the true power of these events, as well as, like, you know, what we've seen just in the greater community as it's become more empowered, is recognizing that, like, you know, we can create spaces ourselves. We can force ourselves into like the viewpoint of other people in the pro wrestling space. And there's nothing that they can fucking do about it.
Right. And, exactly.
And I think that's a beautiful message.
Yeah. I'm not waiting for anybody to hold my hand. I'm not waiting for anybody to let my leash off. There's if I wasn't Effie and I was running a wrestling company, I'd be very concerned about what Effie thought about what I was doing, because now I have the distribution. I have people who trust my vision. I have talent who understand that I'm on their team. And when I see things I don't like, I have more power than they would like me to have. And I would make sure that you're keeping on the right path, because if Effie doesn't like what you're doing at this point, there's enough of my objective principles and what I believe and what I think wrestling is to where I will call your ass out and I will mess up whatever plans you thought you had. And people will be behind me on it, because I'm not speaking from an emotional point. I'm speaking from a point of fact. And they don't like that I have that much power on my own.
Well, too bad.
Too bad. I opened the box. You can't close it, baby.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, last question for you, Effie, before we get out of here today. Obviously, last year in Mania in LA, that 5-on-5 East Coast versus West Coast match just went fucking hard. This time around, we're bringing back the 5-on-5 format, but it's Perro versus Pollo.
Yes.
With their respective teams. Of course, Team Pollo headed up in the ring by Romp.
Yes.
How, knowing like the personalities of Perro and Pollo and what we've seen from them over the last year in the Big Gay Brunch universe, so to speak, how fucking hard is this one going to go?
I hope it goes hard as hell. And I think, you know, seeing how Pollo's involvement has sort of honestly inched in the favor of Perro, because there haven't been other people around. You know, Perro knows how to trick Pollo into being too excited. Perro knows that, you know, Pollo's going to try to get involved. Perro knows that, you know, there are people around him now that can help and assist him. But some of me thinks that, yes, Perro's got these deep pockets, these Charles Mason pockets, to get people on his team. A lot of me thinks that those people are there, and I hope they know this, because Perro can create distractions with them. He doesn't really care if they live or die. And I hope, you know, seeing through this match, yes, it's going to go hard. Everybody in this match is sick. But I think Perro's got tricks up his sleeve that Miss Pollo Del Mar has to be a little aware of going into it. And maybe for once we'll see Perro with nowhere to run.
Possibly. I've always learned that, yes, Perro can have tricks up his sleeve, but Pollo is incredibly clever herself.
Yes, so absolutely. And it's lovely to see Pollo as just a host of the show, introducing the show, coming out for segments. But Pollo has also become an integral part of helping scout talent, helping run shows. She's running her Queen of the Desert shows out in the West Coast, too.
Yes, down in Palm Springs. Yeah.
Yes. Very cool. Very awesome. Bake some more pie. And so now to say, Pollo, I respect your vision. I want to see who you can put on. I want to see what talents you're bringing in. It's a very cool thing to put them in the position to not only be a part of the show, but be a part of the show.
No, I'm excited to see that as well. Like, it's just been amazing to see how so many people that were there, like from, you know, the very early points of the Big Gay Brunch, and now to see where they have come over the last like 3 to 4 years and where they're at now as we head into Philly. It's just, it to me, it fulfills the promise of what the Big Gay Brunch was supposed to be, you know, and what
ridiculous.
It still is. Yes, that too, for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm going to add one more match. I've got a call with Brett here. You know, there's some talent that I haven't gotten to put on the show yet that I really would like to. And I think we've got the space to add one more big match. So, you know, watch out for that this week. We're going to surprise some people.
I'll be keeping my eyes open for sure.
Good.
Well, Effie, it's always a treat whenever we're able to get you.
I'm glad we got
to
link
down.
Up. It's yes. always good to get things off my chest with you two, because you are understanding of what the vision of Effie really is.
I mean, that's what the value is of this space, and honestly, getting to know you over the last like few years, like I just feel like it's very close and in sync there. So,
and we appreciate you taking the time to pay attention to all of queer wrestling. It takes a lot of effort on your part. It's lovely to have people that are in tune like we are in tune, and to see what we are putting out there. You know, we being a pejorative we of all of
yes.
us as queer wrestlers, it's lovely to see there are people paying attention. So thank you, Brian.
Oh, of course. Of course. Always. It's a wonderful, wonderful privilege that I get to have so many people.
We're not going anywhere.
To. Oh, fuck no. Hell no, we're not. I mean, let everybody know where they can find you online, where they can watch the Big Gay Brunch coming up. And also, yeah. Like, I know you have a shit ton of stuff going on outside of just Big Gay Brunch or WrestleMania weekend. So let everybody know what's going on.
I'm going to be at Cream Mania Wednesday night at the H2O building. I'm going to be at Wale Mania on Thursday night as a special guest. I'm also, I think, going to be in the Gimmicks 24/7 fashion show Thursday at 5 p.m. that I'm very excited about. Friday, me and Ali are teaming up at Progress against Gene Money and the lovely Session Moth Martina. And then for Friday night, Joey Janela's Spring Break, Mance Warner, FEI Quit. Saturday, we are going to be at Big Gay Brunch, of course, against Dirty Breeze, Breeze and Fandango against Bussy. Saturday night, I'll be at the Clusterfuck. Sunday, I'll be at WrestleCon. All of the collective shows are on Fight TV. If you sign up for Fight Plus, it is $7.99 a month. You get every single show on the collective. You can watch them all. I think maybe Defy and maybe Progress are on a different service, but you're going to be able to watch all the GCW shows, JCW versus the World, DDT, all of these things. And of course, Big Gay Brunch going to be live Saturday morning on Fight TV. For those of you that can't join us, we are sold out. Me, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, the website, it's all Effie Lives. So go find EFFYLIVES. Follow us, check it out, buy some merch. And I'm also on Cameo, EffieLives.com.
Yes.
I mean, Cameo.com/EffieLives. I don't know.
Something like that. Go to Cameo, something. Search Effie. You'll find it.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Effie, thank you again.
Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
You too.
My thanks once again to Effie for taking the time to come on the show, especially with one of the busiest weeks of his year approaching here in Philadelphia. So always a blast to get the chance to sit down and chat with him. Can't wait to get to Philadelphia now. I'm more excited after this chat, honestly. I'm ramped up. I'm hyped. So we will do that next week, though, for sure. Hopefully, if you're going to be in Philly, definitely, I hope you have a whole lot of fun while you're there. I know I will be doing that as well. This whole like sense of community that pops up around these things is just really amazing. And I can't wait to get back into that experience again after last year in LA. So that's going to do it for us this week. Before we go, though, do have to shout out all of our lovely, lovely members of the roster of lovelies over at patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Of course, if you want to join the roster of lovelies and, you know, be counted among the ranks on every single episode of this show alongside names like Val Capone, Zach Walker, Alex E., and Jerry Legend, you can do so over at patreon.com/LGBTRingPod at the $3 tier. At the $5 tier, you get all of our bonus shows. We do bonus shows every month. Of course, that collection highlighted by our show Required Reading, where myself and my good friend Hollis, we take pro wrestling, we take cinema, and we put it in conversation with one another thematically, however else we would like. We had to push back the recording of our March episode for personal reasons, but that will be going out first week of April. As people are starting to arrive and mill about in Philadelphia, we'll have our episode all about the California Hells Angels featuring Chris Colt against J.J. Dillon and Arnold Skolin, alongside Todd Haynes' 1998 glam rock, gay as fuck, cult classic film, Velvet Goldmine. If you want access to that, alongside the full library of shows that we have done so far, dating back almost a year, you can do so at the $5 tier over at patreon.com/LGBTRingPod and support the show that way as well. Obviously, not everyone can, you know, swing financial support in that way, and we totally understand. So, you know, again, word of mouth, rating, reviewing on your podcast platform of choice, spreading the word about the show, always welcome, and we thank you for all that y'all do to help bring new ears and eyes and minds to the show, I guess. I don't know why I threw eyes in there, because we're still not, we don't have a video component at all, and I have no plans to change that either. So either way, you can stare at your phone, stare at the awesome art by Edith Surreal that we have for our logo while you listen to it. I don't know, there's things. I'm just going down a tangent hole now. I'm going to stop and just say goodbye for this week. Come back next week. We will have a we're having a WrestleMania weekend, a non-WrestleMania WrestleMania weekend preview show with some friends at the show as well. That's going to be dropping just as everything is starting to ramp up and get going down in Philadelphia. So come back for that. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Y'all stay messy. Wash your hands, wear your mask, get vaccinated and boosted if at all possible. The same goes for monkeypox. And happy birthday, J Rose. Or I guess belated birthday. Fuck it. Happy birthday, J Rose. Bye. Everybody's ready to die. If they didn't see it coming from the top of the bridge, she made a deal with the demon.